Hello, everybody, and welcome to the 89th episode of the Meatball Dungeon Podcast. As always, I am Rob.
And I'm Anna Marie.
And we are back pretty much when we said we would be.
Pretty
maybe
close.
Maybe a couple days late, but we're doing all right here.
Better than a month.
Yeah. Way shorter than a month. So I think it's been like 9 days or something. I feel pretty good about that. And we have been playing games, and we do have a bunch to talk about in this episode. We have some new to the collection. That's what we're going to start off with. Do you want to start off with yours?
I do.
First? Okay.
I do. So, sounded like I was getting married there. I do. I do. The game I'm starting off with is Aqua, Biodiversity in the Oceans.
Yeah.
And this game is designed by Dan Halstead and Tristan Halstead, and art, Vincent Dutrate. You can tell.
Nice.
So gorgeous.
Yep.
And this game looks like a ton of fun. It looks like a very simple pick up a tile, kind of lay a tile.
Yeah.
And it's all about creating a coral reef and different combinations, I believe, of putting certain types of coral next to other certain types of coral. And if you get like a certain set together, you can attract animals like marine life to your coral, your reef. And so I believe the bigger the animal you attract, like a shark versus a clownfish, like the bigger the marine animal, the more points you get. And it just, the colors, it's just so vibrant. It looks so nice. And so just I can just imagine.
What's the publisher, did we say?
Nope, I didn't. The op
Games. Right, it's the op.
I don't know why I missed that, sorry.
Yeah, who designed it?
Or it says Sidekick Games too. Oh yeah, Sidekick Games.
Oh yeah, I
Sidekick
see that.
Games
yeah.
and the Up.
Okay.
I said who designed it, right?
Did you?
I think they're brothers, Dan Halstead and Tristan Halstead.
I don't think you said that.
I did. I 100% did. Yes.
Okay. Well, I guess we're gonna find out
hit the replay.
Produce this episode. We'll see it.
I missed the designer. I know that. But
you just said the designer.
No, sorry, I meant the
publisher. Oh, okay.
You were smirking. You're smirking at me. Like, I'm gonna have to make sure we say the designer and the publisher and the name of the game. Mm-hmm. And but I can just imagine how gorgeous this looks on the table.
It looks so nice
with multiple players creating their own coral reefs just with the creatures and everything. And and it says 8+. And then on BGG, it says, they say 6+, the community. So,
is really cool.
Yeah. So it's a very, I think, simple concept, but fun, I think. I think it's going to look
it'll be great
either way.
For our family. Plays 1 to 4?
1 to 4.
Yeah. 30 to 45 minutes.
Yeah.
It looks great. It's highly, not recommended. What's the word
I'm looking
for?
Spoken about?
A ton of hype about it. And a lot of people had this on their most anticipated lists, and I think it's like really well received so far, and certainly in that family group sort of thing, introduction style type of game.
But
that's nice. We haven't
light
had a
that you could
super
play
light, right?
With
an
anybody.
Awesome theme.
Yeah.
I love everything to do with oceans, coral reefs and oceans and fish and sharks and whatever. So I'm really looking forward to that one.
Yeah. It looks awesome.
I think we're going to be playing that one sooner rather than later.
I think so too. Yeah.
So you might hear about this one as soon as perhaps our next episode, but
perhaps.
We'll see what we get to.
But that really is good. Aqua, Biodiversity in the Oceans, designed by Dan Halstead and Tristan Halstead, art by Vincent Dutrate, and published
there
by Sidekick Games and the Op Games.
Just to make that clear.
Just in case.
Yeah. So I have one over here as well. This was these are both pre-orders that we made. This one is a game that came out of nowhere, for me. Like, I didn't know this game was being made until I saw the pre-order.
And I'm a little out of the loop, but I didn't.
Usually I'm kind of like, I've sort of got
your pulse on things.
My finger on the pulse
there
of like kind of what's out there.
Yeah.
But then I had heard nothing of this till I saw the pre-order. And this is Wormspan.
Yeah.
This is the sort of
successor almost, maybe
to
sister?
Wingspan or sister game. Yeah, you could call it. This comes from designer Connie Vogelman and published by Stonemaier Games.
Not to be confused with Elizabeth Hargrave,
no.
who did Wingspan.
Yeah, so When I heard about this game, I thought, you know, until about an hour ago, I thought that this game was Elizabeth Hargrave.
Did I say Hargrove? I thought I said Hargrove. I might have said it wrong.
Oh, who knows what you're doing?
Right, who knows what I'm doing today? My goodness.
But this is, in fact, Connie Vogelman, but it says developed by Elizabeth Hargrave, obviously. Yeah. Because this game, well, let me read a little bit here. It kind of explains. You are an amateur dracologist in the world of Wormspan, a place where dragons of all shapes and sizes and colors roam the skies. Excavate a hidden labyrinth you recently unearthed on your land and entice these beautiful creatures to roost in the sanctuary of your caves. During a game of Wormspan, you will build a sanctuary for dragons of all shapes and sizes. Your sanctuary begins with three excavated spaces, the leftmost space in your crimson cavern, your golden grotto, and your amethyst abyss. Over the course of the game, you will excavate additional spaces in your sanctuary and entice dragons to live there, claiming or chaining together powerful abilities and earning the favor of the Dragon Guild. Wormspan is inspired by the mechanisms of Wingspan, though its unique elements make Wormspan a standalone game not compatible with Wingspan. So this is Wingspan. Like, it's got all the guts of Wingspan, even from that description, right? Yeah. You know that it's going to play an awful lot like Wingspan, but it isn't Wingspan. It's going to have its differences.
Yeah.
Which I had no idea. I originally thought that this was just purely a retheme. And I mean, it's close to being a retheme. I assume. We think. We're going to find out. But like, I assume it's very close. Even from that description, all I could think of was Wingspan. But I don't know. It seems like there might be enough differences in it to make it, maybe even you want to have both. We don't have Wingspan.
No.
And when I saw this, I said this on an earlier episode, I was like, this is like, I was kind of always kind of looking for Wingspan and never really pulled the trigger. And then this came out and I said, well, this is the version I'm going to get.
And then now it's not just now a retheming. It's a new game. Slightly
different. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we also did get the cool play mats and like the deluxe components and stuff for it.
They look really nice.
It looks really good. Yeah, I'm really excited about this one. But yeah, I had no idea until today that this was Connie Vogelman. And she is the designer of a game we love from last year, Apiary.
Yeah, I love Apiary.
Yeah, from Stonemaier. It's so good. So yeah, it's really cool having these two ladies come up with this one. It's kind of neat.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's always nice when you realize a game you're excited for came from somebody that, like, of a game that who made the game, another game that you really liked.
Really? So, And I found out that Apiary was her first game as well. So this is Wormspan.
That's banging, man. Like, she's got Apiary as her first game. Yeah. I'm assuming this one's going to be fantastic as your second game.
Really can assume. So,
cool. Yeah. That's exciting.
This game wasn't on my anticipated list, I don't think, because
because you didn't know about it.
I don't think I can't remember. Maybe I didn't even know it was a thing back then. But I am super interested and I am highly anticipating this one. So this one, as well as Aqua, are going to be played here in the Meeple Dungeon very shortly.
Yeah.
That's our two new games to the collection. And we have a cool game we want to talk about that is sitting on Kickstarter right now, I believe. So we're going to head on over to our crowdfunding segment right now. Alrighty then, here we are at our crowdfunding segment of the episode where we are going to be talking about a tiny epic game that has come out. So we've had a couple tiny epic games here for a number of years, but our oldest boy has started really liking them.
Yeah.
So we've been starting to pick up several of them. I think we have five of them now that he likes to play. And I saw this one hit Kickstarter, and this is the first one that is using an IP.
Okay.
Versus, like, the other one was like Tiny Epic Mechs, Tiny Epic Zombies, Tiny Epic Pirates, and so forth. This one is using a straight up, like, A-level IP for it. And this is Tiny Epic Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
This one is currently on Kickstarter for another 10 days, I believe, as of this recording 9 days. Yeah. And this one looks so good.
Just the idea of having Game of Thrones in a tiny epic game, now that I've been, like, I had never played them until our oldest kind of was like bringing them home and stuff. And he is so into them, and playing with him, like, they're fun. And
they're
having,
so well made.
It just seems like the theme fits very well into this type of game. A small, like,
a very big fight, like, epic game, yeah, in a small box.
Yeah.
Yeah, is what this one really is going to be. Because this one is basically the story of the Game of Thrones. Well,
I think there's more like card plays, and they're different. You can recreate events of
like, there'll be things that you can recreate for sure. Yeah.
And but you can create alliances in the game, and
so you can kind of make it your own version of the events of Game of Thrones, because some of the factions in here and characters, like, you could go through and be the Baratheons, right? And you could just win the war as if Robert had never been killed.
Spoiler alert. Jeez.
Yeah, right. If you haven't seen Game of Thrones, you're listening to this podcast, I'll be shocked.
It didn't happen.
I'll be so shocked if that's the case. But regardless, this does play in several different ways. It does play like a classic way where you can play with four players, and you each pick a faction, and you just go to war.
Yeah.
And it looks like the board is made up of, what, 2, 4, 6 different tiles that create the kind of the continent of Westeros.
Yeah.
And then you have your player mat with your faction. You're the Baratheons or the Lannisters or whoever.
Yeah.
And you have your little mini that you're moving around on the board and kind of moving armies around,
right,
and so forth. That whole thing, making alliances with people, breaking alliances with people, obviously, playing cards.
People breaking alliances for you because they want to have your alliance.
Absolutely. Yes.
Betraying
each other and backstabbing each other just to get your way to the throne, because at the end of the game, clearly it's just one person is going to win this.
Right. In that version.
In this version. But then there are several versions. So you can play this way. You can play this cooperatively.
Yeah.
You can play this also against... So there's two different expansions that come with this.
Yes.
Which we are backing, by the way. clearly. But one of the expansions allows you to add the addition of the threat in the north.
Yes.
Which is adding the wall, adding the...
As the Targaryens and the Night Watch, I think.
Yeah, you can bring the Night Watch in as characters. You can bring Targaryens with... what's her name?
Daenerys.
Daenerys. And her dragons and so forth, and you take on the Night King and the Army of the Dead that are trying to storm through the wall, and you play out that whole scenario cooperatively.
We
either win or lose together, right? And then you can play solo in certain ways. You can play like cooperative solo.
A cooperative solo. So I'm very intrigued about that, how you play a cooperative solo.
Well, I think it's just... I don't know.
Like, because the solo you're playing against whatever Ottoma they've created.
I think it's just you and your friends can play against the Ottoma. Like,
oh, okay, yeah.
I think that's...
But wouldn't that just be cooperative? Oh, okay, against the Ottoma.
Against...
Yeah, yeah, I get Ottoma, it, I get
I
it.
Guess. So, that whatever. Could be it. There's a bunch of ways you can
that's
play
an
this.
Easy answer if to my questions.
Though. And there's an additional thing which allows for 5 players, I believe.
Oh, no, I just reading. Cooperative solo player. Cooperate with an artificial player to defeat the Night King. How that works. Curious. Yeah. Interesting. I will probably never find out because I will always be playing multiplayer.
Yeah.
But.
And so there's the starting factions that come in just the base game are Lannister, House Stark, House Tully, House Baratheon, House Tyrell, House Greyjoy, and House Martell. But then there are additional things you get in different expansions. I think there's just... Or I said that. The Night Watch and the Targaryens.
And the Night King, yeah.
Yeah, and then there is also a pack of
heroes
that you can change out. So you could play as the Lannisters and use, say, Tyrion instead of Jaime, I believe.
Okay.
And so forth. You can just switch out characters, and they probably have different things that they do compared to the other ones they were using. But the two-player cooperative mode against the Night King sounds super fun.
Yeah.
All of this sounds really great. It looks really great. This is the Game of Thrones game I've been waiting for.
We hope. It looks like it.
It looks like it,
yeah.
Like, objectively, it looks like it. Because we have the other Game of Thrones game from Fantasy Flight from years and years and years ago. And it's fun and good and all, but it doesn't scratch the right itches for me when it comes to Game of Thrones, per se. Where I think that this one's going to be a lot more simplified.
Yeah.
And straightforward.
I was going to say, and to the point.
Like, yeah, compared to that one was a little bit more tricky to, like, some of the symbols were weird they were using. And the way the game actually worked was a little strange. It was good.
Yeah.
But this one, I think, might be a little bit more straightforward. And, you know, up until this point, I always thought, and I've said this a few times, that War of Whispers was the actual Game of Thrones game that I liked, but it just didn't have the Game of Thrones
IP
attached to it. But I thought it was kind of the more, the closest you got to actually, like, backstabbing each other and that sort of thing, trying to take control. But yeah, this looks really, really, really good. Let's take a look at the reward tiers here. So there are three.
Yeah.
There's the deluxe game, which is $40 American.
Yep.
And that's just the base game. So that comes with your four factions, or your seven factions, four-player game, battling for control of Westeros. That's it. Then, well, I mean, that's good.
Yes.
There's nothing wrong with that, but that's what that is. But then there's the deluxe cooperative expansion version, which is $45 American, so $5 more. And you get that expansion of the Song of Ice and Fire, like we're talking about, where you can play as Jon and Daenerys to take on the Night King and the whole threat from the north. And then there is the gameplay all-in, which gives you both of those things, and
plus
then
the
Heroes expansion pack.
And that's $50.
And that is $50
$5 more.
So again, you're paying $10 more
to get everything.
To get the whole thing. I think that's an easy
purchase. Right? Yeah, easy
So if this interests you at all, go for the $50 version of this game for sure.
Because 9 days left from the time of us recording.
Yeah. So. And this, what day is it today?
Today is the 21st?
Something like that.
21st, April 21st.
21st. So this will be actually hitting your ears as soon as the evening on the 21st on the Pacific coast. But you might hear about this on the 22nd. So you'll have 8 days left to go check this out. But it looks really, really, really good.
Yeah, it does.
So there's a lot more on here. Go check out the Kickstarter site. Everything looks really nice. Like, the components look great. What you'd expect from these tiny Epic games.
Yeah.
They're getting better and better and better as they go. And it looks great. And I can't wait. This could be the Game of Thrones game that I've been looking for.
I hope so.
I really hope so,
I hope so, yeah.
So that being said, I think that's about it for our crowdfunding segment. And we have a review to do, and we are going to do that right now. Alrighty then, here we are at the final segment of the episode where we are doing another Meeple Dungeon
review.
And what are we reviewing today, Anna Marie?
Today we are reviewing The Veil of Eternity, designed by Eric Hong, art by a slew of people, and published by Mandu Games.
And Renegade Game Studios.
Yes. I will butcher all of the artists' names almost, so
we won't do that.
I just don't want to do them that disservice. Definitely go look up their names. Spoiler,
because
I think the art is very good.
The art's pretty good, yeah.
But we'll get to that.
The Veil of Eternity. So this is a game that we wanted last year that was unavailable to us here in
Canada,
the far north of Canada. So we had it on pre-order, and it arrived, and here it is. And we are happy that we received it. And we've been playing a whack of it. So do you want to tell the people what is going on in this game?
I do.
Okay.
Again, I do. Sorry. Okay. And enter a fantastical world of monsters, spirits, and gods. As a tamer, you'll hunt and tame a variety of creatures with the ultimate goal of capturing the powerful and noble dragons. With 70 creatures from global myths, each game is unique and unpredictable. In each round, players draft cards, take actions, and use the effects of their summoned minions. The player who tames the most outstanding creatures will emerge victorious.
Yeah. So yeah. We are kind of searching for, hunting down, taming, selling, and something else of dragons and magical creatures. And that's the whole point is
summoning,
to
so you can summoning use them.
Yes. Yeah. And you are, you're trying to get to the most points by the end of this game. And by doing so, there's a whole array of ways to do that. So, this game, yeah, it's 2 to 4 players, 40 minutes, I think.
I think so.
Yeah. Okay. So
I should think.
No, yeah, it's a, I can
two
see
to four,
box.
2 to 4, 40 minutes. Yeah.
How does this game play? So there are two main boards. There's one that is just a giant point track, kind of a, yeah, bit of a circular point track, as well on top of it is a round track. There are 10 rounds to this game.
Yeah.
Potentially.
Yeah.
And then there is this other board, which kind of is where you seed out the cards that are available to be tamed or captured or used or sold this for the given round.
It reminds me of a throwing star.
Yeah, it's just a big star.
Like kind of a
big
filled
colorful
in
star.
Yeah.
And on that board are 5 points, like a star. And those points have representation of 5 different types of magical creature.
Right.
Fire.
Water. Earth.
Wind. Earth. And dragon. Those are your 5 types. And on those 5 corners are actually some other symbols telling you how much you would be able to sell a certain type for, if you so choose. Where there's these 3 different types of stones in this game, yeah, that represent kind of your currency. There's a red stone, which is worth 1, a blue stone, which is worth 3, and a purple stone, which is worth 6.
Yes.
And these are the different stones you're going to be using to buy these creatures. And then there is a big stack of cards.
Yeah.
And they're all unique. There's a whole bunch.
70
right, cards.
I think they say 70 different creatures.
Okay. And so, yeah, there's a whole mixture of all those different types of magical creatures that we spoke of.
And they're all different.
Yeah. Like, the dragons, wind, yeah, creatures, water creatures, earth creatures, and fire creatures. They're all different, completely unique. And what you're going to do to start the game, you're going to grab some parts for your player. You're going to have these 2 kind of discs with your color and symbol on it that you're going to have in front of you, as well as this other token, which kind of represents if you get past a certain amount of points,
yeah,
to flip it,
yeah,
over sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then there's a first player token, which is this big wooden cool tablet thing,
yeah,
with some cool symbols on it. And that's kind of the way you start the game, is just like that. And then you are going to seed out cards from that deck equal to double the amount of the players.
Right.
So for us doing a 2-player game, we are going to seed out 4 cards. And right, you're going to take them right off the top of the deck, and you're going to place them into their zone on that star board according to, you know, what type they are.
Yeah.
So you could have a fire character there, a green one here, a dragon there, and a wind one there. And then they have different things on them. They have the cost it would cost you to play that card if you were to take it into your hand in the top left corner, say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, or 10, I think. Maybe they get a little bit more expensive.
That's the summoning cost if you're going to play it out.
Yeah, if you're going to play it from your hand down, yes, onto the board.
Yeah.
And then there is the name of the character or creature, and then what it will do for you underneath. And that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
And so your options are on your turn. So to begin this, if I was the first player and we seeded the 4 cards out, I will have my 2 tokens.
Player tokens, yeah.
And I'm going to select one of them, one of these 4 cards, by placing my token on top of it.
Then
now
I
I've claimed that.
Yeah.
And it's, what's the word they used for, is it like a...
for claiming?
No, yeah, like it's like, there's a cool word. Either way.
You're hunting, I think.
You're hunting.
You're drafting.
Down.
You're drafting, yeah, 2 cards.
But you like found that creature, right? Okay. Out in the magical land. And then once I put mine down, then the second player in a 2-player game would be able to put both of their tokens down.
Yes.
Selecting 2 of the remaining 3 magical creatures. And then I would then pick the remaining one with my token. And that's the end of that part of the round.
Yeah.
Then you'll move on to what do you want to do with these cards? There's several things you can do. You can just pick it up, which is called taming, I believe. And you're going to take that. That means you just want to take that particular card to my hand.
Yeah.
So I would get to look at the two cards that I claimed with my tokens and say I'd want to take this one to my hand just because I know it's something I really kind of want, but I can't afford to put it out.
Right. You can't summon it yet because you don't have any.
Yeah,
I don't have any stones to pay with.
And then I would look at the other card and say, well, if I sold him or it now, I could get, say, a six because this dragon over here are sold for six. I should kind of point that out. The dragons, if you sell them, any dragon would be worth a six stone. A wind creature would be a three stone and a one stone. A blue creature would be a three stone. An earth creature would be four one stones, and a fire creature would be three one stones. And you can never have more than four total stones.
It doesn't matter how much they are worth. It's just you can only have four stones.
And the second you go over,
you have to discard.
You have to discard down to four.
Yeah, so you can choose. Like you can go over and but then just like discard extra ones, maybe if you were to get more, but
you could have eight stones in front of you because you just sold a dragon or whatever, you sold, say, one of the earth creatures and you got four number ones. Now you've got four tokens sitting in front of you. You can decide which ones you want to get rid of.
Yes.
And then you continue on with your turn. So let's say I claimed one, I brought it up into my hand, and the other one I want to sell, and it was a dragon. I would then get a six stone out of the
supply.
Yeah. And now I would basically end my turn unless maybe that six stone will now allow me to play that card
to summon one onto your tableau.
It down into my tableau in front of me. Exactly. And the way that works is, you pay the cost.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have enough stones to pay for it, you can pay for it. But if you have too many stones, say I have a six and the card cost five, I would still have to pay that six and I get no change back for that stone.
Right. No change in this game.
Mm-hmm. And then I would have my card down on the tableau in front of me. And this is, you can do this any time, any round you're able to summon a card, but you're only able to really summon one per round unless you didn't summon some for a few rounds because your tableau is equal to the size of the current round.
Yeah. So if it was round four, you can only have up to four cards down in your tableau.
Yep.
So if you get to round seven and you've already got seven cards in your tableau and you really want to play a card down, the only way to do that would be to remove a card.
Yes.
And if you want to remove a card, you have to pay its summoning cost again. So you pay the summoning cost to remove the card.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay. So removing...
Nope, I lied.
No.
It's the number of the current round.
Yeah, I was going
to
say...
So if it's the seventh round, I have to pay seven stone to remove it.
Right. So further you go along, the more difficult it's going to be to remove a card from your tableau if you really need to.
Yeah.
So it's something you really have to pay attention to. The cards that you put down into your tableau, you want them to stay there because that's just... Well, that's a big waste of a power and stones to move a card out of your tableau.
Sometimes it's necessary.
It could be, yes, but it's not ideal most of the time.
Yeah.
But it is an option if you need to.
Yeah.
And, where am I at now? So that's what you can do on your turn is you can
tame a card, summon a card,
sell a card.
Yes.
Or remove a card.
Yes.
That's the four things you can do. And then you're going to, once I've done my two cards, then you would do your two cards, as many actions as you'd like to do with that, gaining and losing stones. And then that's the end of the round. So then the cards have a lot going on.
Yeah.
On them. So some of the cards you play down will have an instant ability with a classic lightning bolt telling you it's an instant.
Yeah.
And it'll say, gain two blue, three stones when you play this card down. And then you just grab them or something along those lines. Then there are other cards that will give you a constant ability.
So like a permanent, and that's like an infinity symbol.
A little figure eight, yeah. That'll say, like, every time you play a earth card down, gain 2 points.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And then there are a third type of card that you can play down, and that comes into play. It's got a little...
That's an active. It's like an hourglass.
Hourglass, that's right.
Those are your active cards.
Yeah, and those come into play at the end of the round after the resolution done all their phase. Yes, that's the third part of the round is the resolution phase, where you now look at your tableau and you see how many of these cards you have that might have an hourglass on it, and do whatever that might say.
Mm-hmm.
Which could be, again, a whole array of things. It could say...
Draw a card.
It could, get a point. Get some stones. Play a card from your hand. I don't know.
Sell a stone to get points. Like, yeah, there are a whole bunch of different things.
Lots and lots of different things. Okay?
There are cards that can have you get rid of your opponent's card in your opponent's tableau.
Yes.
They have all sorts of things in it.
Steal points from each other. Yep. Things like that.
Some of them, when you play them, like you can get rid of cards in your tableau. So there are other ways to do it. It just depends on if you get the card, if you end up summoning it, if you want to use it.
Yeah.
So
gain a point for every green card in your tableau. Yeah.
Lots of different options.
A point for every different type of card you have in your tableau. Mm-hmm. Things like that. So then you finish the round and you look to see, has anyone triggered the end of the game? The first round, no way.
Yeah.
Like no way. Because the end game triggers are, there's two.
Yes.
The first person to either get 60 or more points will trigger that. That'll be the end of the last round.
Yeah.
You play out the round, but that will trigger that is the last round.
Yeah.
Or it's the end of your 10th round.
If nobody has reached 60 yet.
Yes.
That'll be the end.
And then you would pass the first player token, assuming that the end game triggers haven't been met.
Right.
You'll pass the first player token to the next player. You'll seed out four new cards in our case with a two-player game, and then you do the selection thing again, where you're putting your little token down and claiming a card, and then I claim two and then you claim one, and then you decide what to do with your two cards, and I get to decide what I want to do with my two cards, gaining points, gaining stones, buying dragons, selling them, all these things. Right.
Yeah. Well,
and then you do this round after round, seeing has anyone broke 60 points? Yes or no? Is this end of the 10th round? Yes or no? If not, you keep going until one of those two things is done.
Yeah.
And that is how this game plays.
That's it.
It is very simple.
Very simple.
But it is chock-a-block loaded with crazy strategy and decision-making and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So, that being said, let's go through this. Theme. Does the theme lend well to this game?
Yeah.
I think so.
It does. Yeah, it's cute. It's one of those that probably could have had any theme, but this one works. It definitely works. You're looking at all the different creatures and it feels very light and mystical and yeah.
Yeah, it lends really well. I'm sure you could pretty much do anything you want with this, but I like this theme.
I like the theme, yeah.
I like fantasy, you know, and so it works. You're finding these dragons and deciding what you want to do with them when you found them. Or not just dragons, but all these different creatures.
But yeah, you definitely could put another theme on this.
Sure you could.
But I do like what they've chosen. I think it's a great theme really for this type of game.
Especially since there are 70 unique cards.
It's so cool because those 70 unique cards are all based on real mythical, from global myths.
That's why I think that the theme lends really well, because there are 70 unique cards and they have 70 unique characters that they were able to find and draw from. Some that are from like Greek mythology, some that seem straight out of Harry Potter.
Right.
Stuff from like a Loch Ness monster. Yeah,
there's a hippogriff in there.
Right. All these different things from like different mythos all over the world that they brought all these different characters and creatures into this game, because there's like Medusa and then there's Odin and there's all sorts of things, a hydra in front of me, what else is here?
Well, then dragons,
and
right?
Then like ones that I've not heard of before that are like, oh, that looks interesting.
So
the theme lends well, but could you have done this with like trees and flowers? Probably. But would that be way less interesting? Very. So
maybe. Well, but I'm kidding. You know what I mean? I think this is a fantastic theme.
Yeah,
I thought it worked
really
well.
The theme lends really well. Yeah. It worked out really well. So how about the artwork? We mentioned that earlier.
I love it.
It's great.
It's very good.
It's really, really great. I love
the color palette used on them. And it's just a very bright
game. Yeah, it's almost anime-y in a way, but not as... rigid as anime. It's more soft. It has a Pokemon sort of look and feel. sort of, but not as rigid, you know, where the lines in Pokemon are very hard and straight, where this seems very much a little bit more, or maybe, you know what, He-Man is sort of the vibe I'm getting from some of it. But it's hard to say.
It's kind hard
of
to
like
say.
80s, like 90s, I don't know, fantasy.
Just cartoon. They're just cool.
It's really
cool artwork.
And it's very bright, colorful.
I'm butchering what kind of it is, but it's good.
That's kind of the best I can.
But it's also symbolic. Like, they've got cool little symbols everywhere. And
like, the artwork almost, to me, feels like it could have been a cartoon I watched on Saturdays growing up in the 90s.
Yes, I agree.
You know, that's what I'm getting at here. So, yeah. It's great, though. It's really, really great.
Take, like, Beast Wars and with, like,
sure,
all sorts of things. And, yeah. Anyhow.
And X-Men, sort of.
Yeah, little all sorts of that kind of together.
Spider-Man, the animated series, kind of has that kind of vibe.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's kind of a blend of a bunch. But anyways, I really like it.
It's good. It's really, really good.
You guys are super confused at what the art looks like. So just go check it out for yourself.
Yeah.
Because we butchered that. Yeah.
Components. There's not a lot to speak of.
No, but they're all good. The cardstock is nice. Mm-hmm. The two boards, good. Like, there's
you get
not...
the addition of this. There's a standee in the game, which is the Eternity. I guess it's the Eternity Dragon, I think is what it is.
Yes, and, the Eternity.
And it just sits on upright, kind of on a...
Just on display.
On display, just in the middle of the board where you seed out all the cards.
The throwing star board.
Yeah. And it just looks really nice. It just adds to the game. The cards are good, solid quality. The
just wooden
tokens you put out are nice, big chunky wood things. The big tablet for the first
wooden
player
chunks,
thing is nice and wooden chunk thing.
Cardboard chits for stones.
Yeah. Straightforward.
But they have nice, they have the value on them, so like 1, 3, 6.
Yeah, they look really good.
And yeah, they're really nice.
And the board with the point tracks and the round tracks are good. Yeah. There's little tokens on there to keep you
track. Round marker, player score markers kind of thing.
And they're just similar to your...
They're chunky. They're not hard to handle. Yeah. They're nice and easy, big enough that they're easy to move around. Yeah. Mm. So I think they're good components.
Yeah. So components good, art good. Rule book.
You read the rule
learned
book.
This one.
Yeah.
It was so simple. The rule book was fantastic. I didn't have to watch any videos, nothing. This game was very straightforward and super simple to learn. And the rule book was bang on.
Nice.
So
great. I got to say, this is probably one of the easiest setups I think I've ever seen in a game.
Yep.
Like, there is
boards,
no
deck of cards.
There is no thinking. It's like, oh. It just is almost like this is what you do. It's very easy, which is nice.
It's very easy, but easy
10
to set
seconds.
Up and easy to teach.
And easy to take down.
But there is a lot going on.
Oh, yeah.
So, that being said, we have to say whether or not we recommend this game, and if so, who for?
Mm-hmm.
I certainly recommend this game. This game is exactly what I hoped it was going to be.
Yeah.
It is a lightweight, strategic tableau builder.
Yep.
And combos. Like, that's what you're doing here. It's like, what's that card game I'm thinking? Fantasy Realms. So not that this is Fantasy Realms, okay? Whereas Fantasy Realms was like Red Rising, right? Those were almost the identical games. Like, but this has a similar thing going on here where you're just looking for card synergies in your tableau.
Yeah.
How they work together, the cards that you're selecting and when you put them down and what they do with the cards that are beside the cards that are.
Yeah, it's the synergy is the name of
this game.
There's
nothing to do with adjacency to cards, but it's just the cards in total that you have. It doesn't matter if they're side by side or not.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean anything. You can have them anywhere you want. But it's all the different synergies and all the different combos that you can get moving off of these different abilities that these cards have, and you just kind of choose a direction and kind of work with it. Are you getting dragons? You kind of try to go with the dragon strategy, or one of the different kind of colors, kind of, if you lean into one of them, they generally kind of work sort of together that way.
Are you going to focus on instants, which gets you like a ton of points at once? Or are you going to try to build up using the active cards that keep going, or a combination of both? And and depending on what cards you draft into your hand, that's the drafting is a super interesting part of this game too, because there could be if you're first player, there are two cards that you want so bad.
Yep.
And sometimes it comes down to, I want this card more than anything, mm-hmm. but I cannot let them get this card. And so I have to draft. And it's not even so much hate drafting. It's more just, I know that if I let them have this card, they're going to get like a slew of points yep. because of the cards they already have and the combos they already have in their tableau. And it's like, I can't do it. I can't give them that card. And then you're just praying, is that other card going to be around for me?
Yeah, you're right. So you have to make those tough decisions.
Yeah.
Like, I really, really, really want that card, but I can't let her have that. So I'm going to claim that. And then my plan backfires and she takes whatever else I wanted, well, at least I can sell that card.
Yeah.
And get some stones
and
for
know
it.
They're not going to get
and
it.
And at least they're not going to get it. Yeah. And I'll try and work something else out. But it's awesome.
Yeah.
It's awesome, awesome, awesome. There's so many different combinations and different avenues and paths for you to go down in this game. And it clicks along so
fast.
It
does. The 10 rounds go by very quickly.
Yeah. The 40 minute thing is bang on. It is. Every time we play it, it's roughly that.
Right around there. 35,
40 minutes probably. And it's. Yeah. Yeah, it's exceptionally good. Really, really like this game. I wish I'd had this last year.
Yeah, and this is a game, though, too, that you can have a game where you think that there's no way you're going to win. And then all of a sudden, in the last, like, two rounds, you're like, what? What just happened? Yep. How did I get there? Or even if you don't win, you could end up being like 2 points away because you're like, wow, I did not expect to come back that quickly. Yeah.
To your point, every time we play, we are like within 5 points of each other.
Yeah. There haven't been many blowout games. No. Like, they're all very well balanced so far, just like the way that your strategies go.
And we're going down completely different paths. Yeah. And we always like, and it looks like one of us is kind of walking away with it. And you're like, well, let's see. And then at the end, sure enough, it's like, well, there's 5 points. Now there's 15 more points. And there's three more points. And ding, 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 ding. And all of a sudden, you're right beside each other.
It's the kind of game that as soon as you finish playing, you just want to play it again.
Yep. This is a game that you could play at least twice in one sitting if you'd like to.
Oh, yeah. At least.
Or three if you have like a decent
amount of time.
Because it just ticks along quick and then... Yeah,
and it doesn't feel long.
No.
Like, it doesn't feel as long as it takes even, and it doesn't take that long.
It feels more like half an hour.
It does. It's more than a half an hour, but it feels like you're like, oh, sweet, that was fast. And
it's so simple to just, once you're done, you just take all the cards, shuffle them all up, and you reset the board. And
start again.
And
it's so quick.
See them out and go again. Yeah, you can just, this game is really, really great.
Yeah.
I love this game.
Yeah, me too.
And it says 14 plus on the box. I think our oldest boy is 11. He could play this easily.
Yeah.
And even our other guy, 9 years old, could probably, and he doesn't really take to board games all that much, but I think he'd even enjoy this one and could do it.
And I think a lot of that is the theme too. He, you know, like having the creatures and all the different, mystical things happening around, like that's fun. And the way they're drawn is nice. And like, it's not, none of them are drawn scary. They're not like terrifying cards. No. They're nice.
They're just drawn
nicely.
They look powerful and whatever. But 14 plus, like, I think some 10-11-year-olds out there could easily play this.
14 is definitely high.
Our oldest boy, 100%. He could do this and he'd beat us.
Yeah.
For
definitely.
Sure. But yeah, big, big thumb up from me.
Yeah, me too.
I really enjoy this game. If you like lighter games, if you like tableau building and synergy and combos and drafting cards, this game's for you.
Well, and usually, I will say this, usually in those combo games, and I will call out Kurt in this one, because I feel like he is the master of combos. And every time we play a game, I'm like, well, how many thousands of points is he going to get this turn, you know? And I kind of feel like, well, I'll just work on my own little thing. But I feel like in this one, it just comes naturally to everybody at some point in the game, whether like it'll just all come together with what you have. So you're not feeling drowned, right? Like it's never, it could be anybody's game. And totally. I like that. I like that it could be because everybody gets to make combos. Mm-hmm. And I like that. Yeah.
Yep. I like this game a lot. This one is going nowhere. This one's going to be a staple here for a long time.
It's a great game.
If I'd gotten this game last year, I can comfortably say it would have been easily in my top 10, perhaps if I'd have to think back, but I would actually say this would be in my top five of last year.
Very potentially. Yeah. Yeah.
So I have this one we're counting as a 2024. So right now this one is right sky high.
Yeah.
My list of best games I've played this year so far.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. Two big thumbs up from us here.
Absolutely.
Great job to the crew here at Renegade and Mandu.
Yep. Mandu.
Yeah. Okay. So awesome. I think we can comfortably call that an episode. This one's a quicker one. We're at the 45-minute mark, so that's not bad.
We zip through it. Easy to talk about.
So, yeah, we'll call that an episode. You can find us on the X app at Meeple Dungeon, YouTube, The Meeple Dungeon. Our email is themeepledungeon@gmail.com. And, yeah, we are going to be back probably playing either Aqua or Wormspan, maybe both, for the next episode. So, yeah, we're going to run, and we will see you in a few days. Cheers.
Have a great week, everyone.
Bye-bye.